And I have two verses I want to read out of the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses 10, 11, and 12, it says this. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Got it? Starting verse number 10. All right, it says, he is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the righteousness, mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. If you want to turn in your Bibles also to Genesis chapter 39, that's where we're going to start tonight. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your love. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message. I pray that we make it something out of it that we can use in our own lives. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight's message is the benefit of faithfulness. The benefit of faithfulness. Last week, if you remember, I talked about the need to be faithful. We need to have three things. What are they? Anybody remember? Nope. We need to have a desire. We need to be dependable. And we need to do it for how long? For the duration. We have need to do it for the duration. This week, I want to look a little bit at something different, a little different twist to faithfulness. I want to show you what the benefits are of being faithful. You know, so many times we do things for the Lord and we feel that our labor is in vain. However, this is not the truth. Whatever we do for God is going to be reaped in our faithfulness. We're going to get riches out of it. If you think of the people in the Bible who were faithful in their life, you'll see that God always took care of them. And I want to show you something tonight. We're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. Many of you know the story of Joseph, front words, backwards, inside and out, from our Sunday school classes. And I want to look at him tonight. But if you got your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 39, I feel that we need to look at some things that Joseph had in his life or happened in his life that we will, as long as we are faithful. In Genesis chapter 39, verse number 2, it says this. I'm not going to read the whole verse because I'm going to be using these verses throughout my message, but it says, let's go to verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. I want you to look at that phrase right there for me. Now go to verse number 21. Verse 21 of the same chapter, it says, but the Lord was what? With Joseph. Here we see two different accounts where the Lord was with Joseph. You know, the Lord is going to be with us if we are faithful. Now, here we see a young man sold by his brothers into slavery. They were jealous because Jacob loved Joseph more than them. We realize that he loved him more than them because of the coat of many colors that he had made for Joseph. And he had always had Joseph under his wing because he was the only son that he had at the present time, born to Bathsheba. Later we know in the story that Benjamin is born to Bathsheba, or not Bathsheba, but to Rachel, and then we find that Rachel dies. So here we see that he was the favorite of Jacob because of his mother. And so here we see that they were jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery. He was sold into a strange land with a strange people that he had no idea who they were. He had never been there, and he had no idea if he was ever going to see his family again. Joseph was taken to a place that he did not want to go. Joseph did not know what was going to become of him as a slave. No doubt he may have shed many tears wanting to go back home and going back to his family. You know, he probably missed his dad. He probably missed the animals. He probably missed his bed. He probably missed the things that he loved. He probably missed his friends that he had. You know, here was Joseph in a land that he didn't know anything about, a people that he didn't know anything about, and more than likely, he was missing home. I believe many times he became homesick. I believe many times he may have shed many tears because he wasn't able to go back home. You know, my wife and I, at one time, a while back, this is probably 10 years ago, we had a little boy that was in our school, and he had to go to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, we went up to see him. And walked into his room, and he was laying in the bed there, and he started crying. And I said to him, I said, what's the matter? He says, I get so afraid at night when I don't know if mom and dad are here, and it's dark, and I'm all alone. He says, I just get so frightened. He says, I don't know what's going to happen. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, Jesus is always with you. Jesus is always with you. And he looked at me and he goes, I forgot. I forgot Jesus is always with me. I said, you don't have to be afraid because Jesus is always there. But we should not be afraid when things are not going the way that we feel they should. No matter what the situation, no matter how dark the situation looks, the Lord is always with us as long as we have Him in our heart. As I was doing this message, I got to thinking of our missionaries. I couldn't help but think of the missionaries that we have on foreign lands. And I know for a fact that many young people who go on the missionary field get out there, and all of a sudden, one of them becomes homesick. And usually, it's the wife who becomes homesick. And she wants to go back home because she misses her mom and dad. She misses her brothers and sisters. She misses her church family. She misses everything that they had left to go to the mission field. And they forget many times that God is with them. You know, there's many missionaries today who get on the mission field. They're there for maybe a year. Some of them are only there for 6 months. And they turn around, they come back to the States because they become so homesick, not realizing that God is always with them. But you know, the Lord was with Joseph. Even when Joseph was falsely accused, thrown in prison, the Lord was with him. You know, if it would not have been for the Lord, I don't believe that Joseph would have made through the trials that he went through. I mean, can you imagine? Here's a young boy, 16 years old, getting sold into slavery by your brothers. Taken to a land you don't know anything about, to a people you have no idea who they are, you don't speak their language, and you're sold into slavery. Then you're accused of something you didn't do and you're thrown into prison. Now, I don't know about you, but I would wonder if God was with me. Amen? Yeah, let's face it. I was wondering if God was really with me. You know, where are you, God? Look what's happening to me. Yeah, are you really with me? But the Bible says that God was with Joseph. Joseph was faithful to the Lord. He prayed. No doubt, you know, if he could go to church, he went to church and as often as he could. He kept himself pure from the sins of this world. He stayed faithful to God, and the Lord was with him. You know, if we stay faithful to what God has called us to do, He's going to stay with us. He's going to be with us all along. He's going to be with us through thick and thin. You know, if we're not faithful, why would God want to stay with us? Why would He want to stick around? I wouldn't. But you know, not only was He with him, but go back to verse 2 of chapter 39 again. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was, what's that next word? Prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now let's go over to verse 23. It says, and the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to what? Wow. Not only was the Lord with him, but everything that he did prospered. Everything that Joseph did prospered. Why? Well, Joseph, even though he was in a bad situation, you know, he was between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. He had nothing. He could do nothing that he was ever trained to do. What was he trained to be? A shepherd. He was trained to be a shepherd. Now, what's he doing? He's in Potiphar's house, running the house. He's a housekeeper. Now, he goes to the prison. What's he doing there? He's a head jailer. He's not doing anything that he was ever trained to do. He was trained how to take care of sheepies. He wasn't trained how to be a jailer. He wasn't trained how to be a butler. You know, he wasn't trained in any of those things. Yet, now he's... But the Lord made him to be a what? Success. God prospered him in whatever he did. You know, even when Joseph was placed in prison, the jailer had put under him everything because he was so successful in the prison. The Lord made Joseph prosperous because of his faithfulness. Joseph did not run around getting drunk with all the rest of the servants. He did not go on to the drug parties like probably the rest of them did. Joseph did not go to the casino and bet his paycheck away. Joseph did not go running around with the ladies. Joseph probably gave back to God the portion which belonged to God. Joseph did not try to make fast deals to make himself look good. Joseph was faithful, working, and doing exactly what God had placed in front of him at that time to do.
You notice I said at that time? Well, if we want to be prosperous, we need to be faithful at doing what God has placed in front of us today. Not tomorrow, today. You know, think about this for a minute. And I was doing this, I was thinking of Brother Kevin, I was thinking about Brother Kevin when I was writing this message. And, you know, he's faithful doing what God has called him to do today. Even though he's looking for a job somewhere else, he's still faithful at being here at the church, helping out all he can, doing what he can for the Lord. He's being faithful to what God has called him to do today. You know, he could be going somewhere else, looking for something else to do, and, you know, whatever, getting in trouble. I mean, you know, he's that kind of guy. But he isn't. He's faithful to what God has called him to do today. And, you know, that's what we need to realize, is that each and every one of us sitting in here are faithful at what God has called us to do today. Tomorrow, guess what? God might call us to do something else. Then we got to be faithful at it. Look at Joseph. He was faithful when he was in Potiphar's house, wasn't he? Was he going to stay in Potiphar's house forever? He thought maybe he might. But it didn't happen that way. He got thrown into prison. When he got into prison, was he faithful in prison? Yes, he was. And God was with him. And God prospered him. Listen, what we need to realize is this. If you want to prosper in life, you need to be faithful at what God has called you to do today. Whatever you're doing for the Lord today, keep doing it. Because you will prosper. I guarantee it. You know, have you ever wondered why people have money problems? Have you ever had more months left than money? Have you ever been looked over for a promotion at work? Have you ever wondered why you don't get the raises that you think you should get? Have you ever wondered why others seem to get all the breaks in life and you have to scrape and grind trying to make ends meet? You know, you look at a people's life and see how faithful they are and how faithful you are. You know, look at the people's lives to see if they're faithful or not. You know, the Bible says that God allowed Joseph to prosper. If we want to prosper, we need to be faithful to what God has called us to do today. Because tomorrow, he could call us to do something else. You know, I got to thinking about that. That's the way it is around here. You know, you just got to be faithful about what goes on today because tomorrow things are going to change. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, you know, if you've been around here any time, you know that things change around here at the drop of a hat. I mean, you may have your day all planned out, and you're going, okay, this is going to be a great day today. Then the phone rings. Then you go, oh, no, not again. And, you know, everything just gets turned upside down. But you got to be faithful to whatever comes in. You have to change gears. You have to go a different direction. You have to do a lot of things that may not be what exactly you want to do. But it's hard to prosper if we're not faithful to what God has called us to do today. You know, it's hard to prosper financially if we're not faithful to give God what he has coming to him. It's hard to prosper in the ministry if we're not faithful to what God has told us to do. It's hard to prosper in a marriage if we're unfaithful to our mates. It's hard to prosper as a soul winner if we never go soul winning. We need to be faithful to be prosperous. You've got to be faithful with what God has called you to do in order to be prosperous. If we want everything that God has in store for us, we need to be faithful to Him in everything that He has called us to do. Yeah, listen, the Lord is going to be with us. The Lord will help us to be prosperous. The third thing is this. You are also going to be well favored. Look at chapter 39, verse 21. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Here we see that he was well favored. He was well favored with the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison made him numero uno in the prison. So it had to be pretty nice after all. Now think about this for just a minute. The word favored here means kindness, by the way. But just think about Joseph for a minute. Here he is, number one in the prison. Now back then, they would bring the food in, probably on some kind of a cart or something, and it was probably all together. You know what I mean? And Joseph, more than likely, got first picks. Amen? Oh man, there's a turkey leg. Yeah, baby! You know what I mean? He probably got first pick of whatever came in to eat. After all, here comes a watermelon in. Oh, yeah. Slice it up. I'll take mine and let them make it out. Right? Yeah, well, let's face it. He was well favored. He got the first pick of everything. You know, he got first of everything that came to the prison. You know, here we see that because of his faithfulness, Joseph was regarded with kindness. You know, many of the prisoners there were whipped, they were beat, they were, you know, whatever, put in chains. But Joseph wasn't. He was treated with kindness. Joseph had nothing going right for him. His brothers hated him. His brothers sold him into slavery. He was taken a long way away from home. He was sold at an auction to the captain of the guard. He'd been accused of seducing and raping Potiphar's wife. And now he's thrown in prison for something that he didn't do. Now, if you're talking about having a bad day, Joseph was having a bad life with what he was doing. He was having a really bad life. After all, he'd been in prison for about 3 years before everything came out. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that so many times we feel that we have it so bad, we don't feel anybody has ever went through anything worse than that we're going through right now. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. You know, we get off our horse, we get down, we go stand in the corner, and we have a pity party. Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat one. You know what it's like? You know what I mean? I know you notice everybody knows that song pretty well. I don't know if you learned it from me or if you sing it yourself. But you know what? Listen, that's the way people are. You know, all of a sudden, they get into life hazards and they go and have a pity party. Oh, poor me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Amen? Now, let's face it. Yeah, we all do it. We all go through it. If anybody went through it, it was Joseph. After all, here he is. He's in jail, long way from home, doesn't have anything. You know, when things go bad in our life, we should not sit down. We should get up, and we should start working harder for the Lord. That's what we need to do. Get your nose to the grindstone and just keep going, man. You know, if when things seem to go bad for us and we want to throw in the towel, we need to stay faithful. We need to stay faithful to what God has called us to do. If we stay faithful during the trials in our life, believe me, God is going to shower us with favor. He's going to give us things we don't even deserve to have. You know, too many times, though, we don't feel that there's any hope of us ever going any farther. Have you ever been going along and you think, you know what, there's no light at the end of the tunnel? Even that I have. You know, many times in my ministry, I feel that God put me on this train. I'm going down the tracks, and I'm in a tunnel. And I'm looking down, and there's no light at the end of that tunnel. And I don't know what's ahead of me. I have no idea, none. Haven't got the foggiest idea what's coming up ahead of me. Can't see a thing. The light goes out in the front of the train. And I mean, I'm going in the black. Going along. And as I'm reminded, just keep driving the train. Keep the train on the tracks and keep driving the train. Sometimes we got to slow down a little bit. Sometimes we got to go at things a little bit slower than what I like to do them. But you know what? I keep that train on the tracks. All of a sudden, guess what? A little glimmer of light starts up at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, it gets a little brighter, a little brighter, a little brighter. All of a sudden, the light comes back on the front of the train. And you're clicking, and clicking, and clicking along, and you put her in high gear again, and away you go. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that we need to continue to be faithful to what God has called us to do. And He will pour out His favor upon us. First, the Lord's going to be with you. Second, we will prosper. Third, we're going to be favored. The fourth thing is this. Turn your Bible to chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Starting at verse 39. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off the ring off his hand, and put upon Joseph's hand, and he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made them ruler over all the land of Egypt." Wow. The Lord is going to be with you. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to be favored. And then you're going to be exalted. You're going to be exalted. Joseph stayed the course that God had put him on. Joseph stayed faithful. Even though the road of life became rather rough and hard, Joseph was exalted to the position of providence. Listen, think of this for just a minute. Of the known world at that time, Egypt was the greatest kingdom out there. They were the greatest. Why? Because of the Nile River. The Nile River would spill its banks in the spring, and everything flooded. And everything grew just unbelievably. Do you remember when Abraham
ran into the famine, him and Lot, and they were without food. And they went down into Egypt, and they came back out of Egypt, and the land wouldn't bear both of them. And Abraham said to Lot, he says, you pick what area you want. Do you want, if you go this way, I'll go that way. The Bible says that Lot looked over the fertile plains of Sodom because it was watered as Egypt was. Egypt was one of the greatest countries in the known world at the time. Now, here is a young man who had been in prison, came out of prison. All he did was interpret a dream. That's all he did. Interpret a dream. Yeah, look at him, he says, there's no one as wise as you. You will be second in all of the land of Egypt. If that isn't exalting someone to a higher plane than what they were, I don't know what is. I mean, just think of it. That's like him winning the lottery. Amen? I mean, let's face it. Here, Joseph, all he is a prisoner. He has the clothes on his back. That's it. He owns nothing. He has no family. Nothing. And now Pharaoh, the greatest ruler in the world at the time, makes him second, exalted him to the second position in all of Egypt. Through all his generations, he was the second in command in Egypt. All the way through, and in fact, if you go to the book of, let's go over there for just a second, go to the book of Exodus real quick. Exodus chapter 1. It says in verse 1, it says, let's go down here a little bit farther. Let's go down to verse 7. It says, and the children of Israel, faithful, as were fruitful, increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, look at verse 8. It says, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which, what?
Knew
not Joseph. Listen, Joseph had died. He was off the scene. This is 400 years after Joseph had been made second in command. For 400 years, his name had went before the people of Egypt. God kept his name exalted for 400 years. Why? Because he was faithful. It wasn't until 400 years later that there rose another king who knew not Joseph. Wow. As the story goes on, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. His family needed food, and we're studying that in Sunday school right now. Joseph showed compassion in his brothers, even though the last 22 years he had been away from them. You know, one day, if we continue to be faithful, we're going to be exalted above the heavens. One day, if we continue to be faithful, will be exalted above the heavens. This morning I read a verse about losing your crown. It didn't say lose your salvation. It said lose your crown. That's where faithfulness comes in. If we're faithful to the end, we will see our crowns and our jewels on our crowns. But if we're not faithful, those will be taken away from us. The first thing we have to do to be faithful is we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's hard for the Lord to be with us, to give us prosperity, to give us kindness, and to exhort us if he doesn't know who we are. We need to know him as our personal Savior. There's an awful lot of people today walking around the world who try to be more than what they are. You know, you take a look at the political arena. You look at our politicians, and they want to be high and mighty people. All I can say is, you are nothing compared to my God. You just need to continue to be faithful. And believe me, there's going to be great benefits in store for each of us.